Hello and welcome to our program. We're continuing in the series on the so-called minor prophets. God doesn't have any minor prophets. Stay tuned. Previous program, we said the word minor means less important, less significant, or less worthy of attention. There is no such thing as one prophet being less important than another one or less worthy of our attention. As we continue our study in what they call the minor prophets, before we go any further, make this your prayer. Open mine eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit
for about 25 years, and they ignored him. We saw in chapter 1 and verse number 5, Joel said to those, the remnant, remember, this is the remnant. These are the ones who at one time when they came back out of bondage at this period of time, and the walls were being rebuilt in that time, and time went on, and they got apathetic. And he said unto them in chapter 1, verse number 5, awake ye drunkards, judgment is coming. Now, he's using the word drunkard here as a metaphor. A person who is drunk, his thinking is distorted, his conscience is dulled, his mind, his will, and his emotions are directed by something other than God. And so they just refused to listen to the prophet. He said, what we need to do is repent. They ignored the prophet, and they were brought into bondage by their enemies. We said in our last program, 2 Chronicles 7:13, God said, if I shut up the heavens that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, Or if I send patience among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Well, they said, no, thank you. We're just going to live here the way we're living. They should have listened. They ended up, as we saw in our last program, in bondage. Well, in recent days, God has sent along some prophets that we didn't listen to as well. For example, on March the 31st, 1860, Gypsy Smith was born in a gypsy tent. He was converted to Christ on November the 17th, 1876. When he began to preach, he said, I didn't go through your colleges and seminaries. They wouldn't have me. But I have been to the feet of Jesus where the only true scholarship is learned. Gypsy Smith was used of the Lord to win multitudes of thousands of people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He died on the Queen Mary on August the 4th, 1947, during his 45th crossing of the Atlantic. You know, we should have listened to Gypsy Smith. Gypsy Smith warned about a new philosophy of ministry that was beginning to change our approach to winning people to Christ. He said, I quote, I am afraid that in our zeal to get people into the kingdom or the church, we have lowered the standard. I am afraid that in our zeal to get people into what we call the church, we have been more anxious about heads than hearts. In order to capture, we have compromised and lost. We have been more concerned about filling our church registers than we have about the kingdom. Well, Gypsy Smith was right. Today we have developed a slick sales approach to witnessing to the lost. We offer an incentive. We say, would you like to know that you would go to heaven when you die? Well, who wouldn't? Yeah, okay, just pray this prayer and you can go. The problem with that is that's a doctrine from hell. Jesus never offered an incentive salvation. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 19, we read, and certain scribes came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus didn't say, great, just pray a little forgiveness prayer and join the group. His response to that man was, well, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. We read no more about that man saying anything about following him. Gypsy Smith said, and I quote, Christ never made it easy. And the man who makes it easy to be a Christian preaches a mongrel gospel. He said repentance is the first step. The man who misses repentance will miss everything. Jesus himself said there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. Gypsy Smith won thousands to the Lord under the power of the Holy Spirit. He did not use a slick, no repentance sales pitch that says just pray a prayer and you can go to heaven. We should have listened to Gypsy Smith. In more recent years, the Lord sent a man by the name of A.W. Tozer to give us another warning, but we ignored him too. Tozer said, the crowds at any price mania has taken a firm grip on Christianity and is the motivating power back of a shockingly high percentage of all religious activity. He said, in our eagerness to make converts, I am afraid we have lately been guilty of using the techniques of modern salesmanship, which is, of course, to present only the desirable qualities in a product and ignore the rest. We should have listened to Gypsy Smith. We should have listened to A.W. Tozer, but we didn't. We should have listened to Jesus, who said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We should have listened to John the Baptist, who said, bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. We should have listened to Peter when he said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We should have listened to Paul when he said, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We should have listened to hundreds and hundreds of sermons and books and articles that were written by godly preachers in the last couple of hundred years who stood for repentance and taught the Word of God. We should have listened. Let me give you as simply as I can God's plan of salvation. Number one, salvation begins with hearing the word of God. Romans 10 and 14 says, how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Acts 15, 7 says, the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. It starts out with hearing the word of God. As a result of that, the next thing is the Holy Spirit convicts the sinner. Jesus said when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will reprove the world of sin. That is, he will convict the world of sin. You hear the word of God, you come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. There is then a call to repentance. Ephesians 1 and 3 says that, but he first showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do the works meet for repentance. 2 Timothy 2:5, God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. 2 Corinthians 7:10 talks about godly sorrow working repentance to salvation. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, God commanded all men everywhere to repent. He didn't say pray a little incentive prayer, just believe and pray a prayer like the Catholics do. He said you need to repent. Salvation begins with hearing the word of God. The Holy Spirit convicts the sinner. There is then a call to repentance, and the sinner either repents or rejects the Holy Spirit. First of all, we read in Romans 2 and 4, those that despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Mark 6 and 12, and they went out and preached that men should repent. Luke 13 and 3, I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Two verses later, Jesus said, I tell you again, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Mark 6 and 12, they went out and preached that men should repent. Now the sinner will either repent or he will not. He or she will repent or they will not. It's simply a choice. So first of all, we have the hearing of the word of God, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit calls us to repentance, and then if the person repents, the byproduct of genuine repentance, 2 Corinthians verse number 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, all things are passed away, and all things become new. He has a new love for the word of God, he has a new love for the people of God, he has a new desire for the will of God, he has a new peace with God as a result of receiving Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior. Well, in recent years, men like Jack Hiles and Curtis Hudson came along and said, God doesn't know what he's talking about. Jesus must have been mistaken there on that repentance that all men should repent. They said that repentance taught that way is the enemy of soul winning. That's a heresy from hell. But we believe them. Isn't it interesting that we get all bent out of shape about Billy Graham because he was an apostate? And we should. However, men, if you call yourself an independent Baptist, you can change the plan of salvation and we won't get bothered about it. The bigger problem than Hiles and Hudson changing the plan of salvation is that independent Baptist pastors today don't care. Regardless of the fact that there's no salvation without repentance, our so-called fundamental independent Baptist pastors remain silent. Regardless of the fact that we are filling our church with unsaved church members, we who have prayed a prayer but never repented, they're heading for hell, and pastors remain silent, regardless of the fact that the Word of God says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, Galatians 1:18. Most pastors remain silent about this, and many of them will criticize those who speak the truth about it. And then there are other pastors who believe this, but they're silent about it. Do we not realize that silence gives consent? It is not enough to quietly disassociate ourselves from false leaders who promote unscriptural heresy. Jude said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The dictionary says to contend is to state a fact or belief confidently and forcefully. It is time to stand up and be heard. All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good pastors to say nothing about the blasphemous heresy that is being promoted under the banner of our so-called fundamental movement. As pastors, we need to withdraw ourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which we have received of God, and our people need to know why. Speak up and be heard. We began this program listening to this message and song, Open My Eyes That I May See Glimpses of Truth Thou Hast For Me. Here's the truth. 2 Peter 2:1, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in their damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, that word has been translated redeemed 3 times, denying the Lord that redeemed them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Do we think these false prophets are somewhere other than in our churches? No, they're in our so-called fundamental movement. Here's the prayer again. Pray it along as we listen to this message and song. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine. Silently now I